Devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber or hang up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any matters that are exempt. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Just to advise, following a discussion with the proposer of the motion relating to item 4, it has been deferred and will be tabled at April's committee meeting. Okay. I have apologies from Councillor McAvoy and Councillor Howell. Are there any other apologies? No?
Yeah, Chair, an apology for Councillor Henrelli, please.
Okay. Okay, item 2, any declarations of interest? Item 3 is the action sheet arising from the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 15th of February. And I'll go through the pages for accuracy. So page 1 and page 2. Could I have a proposer and seconder?
Proposed.
Happy to second. Sorry. Just bear with us a wee second while the names are added here. Thank you. We'll just continue with the numbers as they are. The item 5, then, correspondence from the Ulster Scots Community Network. And this is for Colin Moffat.
Sure.
Me, is it working? Councillors, thank you very much, Chairperson. This just refers to correspondence from the Ulster Scots Community Network, which was sent to the Chief Executive Marie Ward. We did meet with the Ulster Scots Community Network. We also agreed to table the correspondence with the Equality and Good Relations Reference Group at the meeting on the 5th of March. They did welcome the correspondence, and following discussion, they agreed that the Council should proceed. They recommended we should proceed to look at our current approach to Ulster Scots, take into consideration any policy approaches taking place in any local government, other local government authorities within Northern Ireland, and prepare a paper for consideration by the reference group in the future. So that's really what the recommendation is to allow us to go forward as officers to prepare that and bring a paper back to the Equality and Good Relations Reference Group.
Thank you, Councillor Lewis. No, Taylor. Sorry.
No, you're okay, Chair. Thank you. We're all going to take a while to get used to this again, so no, appreciate you letting me in. Chair, happy to support, happy to propose the recommendation included in the report. We obviously had a productive discussion last week at the Quality and Good Relations Working Group in relation to this matter, and obviously it's an important piece of work that has to be done, so I'm happy to propose that we move forward with the proposal included in the recommendations.
Councillor Lewis?
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I'm happy to check on this, and I would like to just thank the Ulster Scots network for the work that they've done, and the council staff and council officers who have been brought up to this stage. We'd just like to ask when we can expect the review to be complete and how far reaching that review be, as we know that there is funding and finances allocated to the Irish language, and it would be sort of a deal to see that Ulster Scots parallel up to the same sort of that their chair, please.
Thank you, Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And as two colleagues mentioned beforehand, it was a good discussion of Quality and Good Relations, and I was put right that this letter did go to other councils, because when I read it, my back was a bit up, thinking, oh, why are they only writing to us? But Councillor Taylor rightly put me in my place. But yeah, Chair, as part of the recommendation, I did suggest that we would consider what other local authorities actually do within their own policy, because as I said at the meeting, I did a bit of research, and it's actually quite limited, the councils that actually do have a policy for Ulster Scots. Like Arts and North Down, Lisburn, Castlereagh, Mid and East Antrim were only three that I found so far that didn't actually have a policy around Ulster Scots at all. But Fermanagh, Omagh, Derry, Strabane and Belfast City Council actually did. So I think it's a really good piece of work that we will undertake in cooperation with other authorities. And it may be an opportunity to work with other councils that have received a similar letter, being asked to consider the Ulster Scots as a policy, what they potentially are thinking of doing and the approach that they will take. So looking forward to the outcome of it.
Thank you, Councillor Hanlon.
Okay, listen, just want to reiterate and welcome, you know, and we really did have a good discussion and good relations around this. And I think it would be remiss to note that we did lead the way and are leading the way with Irish language policy within Newry Morning Down. And I think this is just going to strengthen it and show commitment to diversity of languages. So very much welcome it and look forward to it being implemented.
Thank you. Councillor McAteer.
Yes, Chair. I'm very happy to be associated with the support for this. And the old Newry Mourne Council, we had Ulster Scots group, and it was quite good, reasonably well intended. But I do think it's very important to do everything we can to assist and promote the different cultures within our district. And I would look forward to the time where maybe we can even form, you know, some form of a joint committee where it's built around the languages, because the Irish language subgroup is a really excellent group, and excellent work being done by council officers and outreach into the community in all its forms. And so, again, I would love to see the day where, quite soon, where we would all attend the relevant committees, if they were set up with the subgroups, for each other's culture and respect, and show respect to each other. So it's important that. That's my look on it. Thank you.
Thank you. Could I have a proposer and seconder? proposed by Councillor Taylor and seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Sorry? Councillor Hanlon. Thank you. Item 6, the officer report on the notion of the notice of motion ending violence against women and girls.
Thank you very much, Chair. Again, this is a notice of motion ending violence against women and girls, which referred to the Equality and Good Relations Reference Group. It was discussed at the meeting on the 5th of March. And it was widely received. This was a notice of motion on behalf of Councillor Gilbreath. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to attend, but Councillor Devlin did present it on his behalf. Councillors were supportive of the notice of motion, and the recommendation, as noted here, is to note the notice of motion was discussed and that they recommend the Council write to the Minister calling for the delivery of a fully funded strategy to end violence against women and girls, and also commits to each November the 25th having a dedicated day with regards to the elimination of violence against women and girls across the district and a series of events, and also to refer this to the Council's Women's Subcommittee to progress events.
Thank you. Councillor Hanlon?
It's just to welcome this motion and I thank Councillor Gilbreath for taking it to Council and to highlight, women who are suffering from violence, and I think it's important that as a council we do support the motion and that we are using whatever influence we have to elevate this into any public forum to show support, and I think having the day dedicated to it is really, really important too, because it's another opportunity then to maybe make their voices heard, or if one person gets something out of it and they're able to bring forward and seek help or get help, then that's one person less that's suffering. So I just want to thank Councillor Gilbreath and glad that it has got full council support going forward.
Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Happy to second in his proposal there. Around the day on the 25th of November, fully buy into that. But it has to be more than just sort of a media or graphic campaigns. We have to focus on an event. I know further down the agenda, we're looking at the Women's Subcommittee, where they're looking at events and different things, local democracy, which we'll talk about on. And it's right that it's sent to that subcommittee to discuss it. But then comes to one of these bigger committees so that there's buy-in from absolutely everybody. It's too important of an issue to not use that day, once we've set this up, to put on some event where we can inform people and educate them. That's right across the spectrum, whether it's men or women. Everybody needs educated on this issue. You know, there's too many times we've seen over the last couple of years where people are brought together in rallies in, you know, the most the situations that they're brought together in is because something has happened. We need to use our voice in local council on that day. So I want to ask that officers on this motion, we're looking into what resource can be provided, that it is focused on events, not just a media campaign. We've seen that through many campaigns where days are named after something and events that we can all buy into. But yeah, happy to second.
Councillor Quinn. All right. Councillor Lewis.
Speak, don't I? There we go. Sure. No, it was just welcome this and say that we will be supporting it, and to ask, is there any consideration given to involving the PCSP as well on this, as they have a good track record of helping and aiding and running these sort of campaigns as well, and it was just to second Councillor Byrne, is a statement that we can't just have this as a one-day thing, as an online media campaign. If there's some way that we can host like a sort of weeks-long events and all that filled in. Yep, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Quinn?
Yeah.
offices on. No, just again, echo the comments made by Una here about supporting it. Day to day, I see women coming in and seeking support from those who are victims of domestic violence, and sometimes it's very frustrating when we're so limited in what we can do to help them. But things like this shows that there is more of an onus on it, and not just on women, you know, identifying it, but men working alongside women in that they too can call out such behaviours. And I'm really looking forward to, through the women's working group, in helping to create advance and be very proactive on it. So thanks.
Councillor Kelly.
Yeah, just similarly, just to echo some of the sentiments throughout the Chamber, Chair, and I think it's very important that this issue is brought up, as it's very prominent, more than probably we realise. And I'm glad that now, you know, as a council, we can create an environment where women can come forward and feel supported. So I'm very supportive, and I thank Councillor Gilbreath for bringing it forward.
Thank you for that. That's proposed by Councillor Hanlon and seconded by Councillor Byrne. Item 7 then is the hybrid meetings, and that's Marie.
Sure. The item in relation to the hybrid meetings is really just for noting, and it just sets out how we will operate. You will note as well that there's been correspondence since the council meeting from the minister in relation to looking at new legislation. I would just draw your attention to the resources element of the paper that highlights that we are currently running, obviously clearly in the chamber, and getting used to the mic system again. But we are also still running a Teams video conferencing scenario, and that does require us to retain the two Democratic Services officers. If we remove that option, then we can revert back to one Democratic Services officer for minute and meetings. I just wanted to highlight that to members.
Councillor Hanlon.
Look, I'm happy to support the recommendations, and I think it's important. I know we've talked about it before, but I mean, hybrid meetings do work really well, especially for those, for example, on maternity leave, or they have care and responsibilities, or whatever challenges they may find, and it allows then for members to take part in debates. I know my own preference is always to be in the chamber, but I do recognise there's times, even myself, with a young child, that I've had to log on online to make that work. So I just think it's important that the minister takes that on board going forward, that, you know, the hybrid facility is good, and it works, and it is a good flexible way of doing business.
Councillor Byrne.
I suppose my comments are around what Marie had just touched on the resource. Reading through the paper, I think that's something that we need to keep. I think if we go back to before, pre-COVID, when we had press and public that had been present at the meeting, we had really big issues that we had an issue with. I think there was 10 or 12 people who were allowed from the public in the back. And we can't go back to a day where we're seen as closing the doors on that. The two Democratic Services staff that are here will allow more press to be online and more public to be online. They don't have to fall in under the legislation because they're not engaged in the meeting. And I think we have to increase our openness and transparency. We get hammered as a council unfairly, I think, over the years, but not being open and not being transparent. So moving to that point, I think we should keep that going forward, and hopefully everybody agrees with that. And obviously, no doubt, when we get to the new system where we get into live streaming and with all this new IT that's put in, that'll do away with that. But until then, we've got to keep it as open as possible for people to engage in this meeting without driving it. So I hope that resource is kept and proposed, and it is kept until new legislation is passed.
Sure, if I could just come in on that. This system actually does allow live streaming, the system that has been installed. We're currently working through the process of getting that up and running. We will be looking to recruit through our IT department somebody who can actually operate nearly like a broadcasting system for us in doing that. So we are moving towards that, but in the short term we would have to operate through Teams.
Councillor Kelly.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I just want to say that I'm pleased to see the Communities Minister come back so quickly on this, considering we only wrote to him after council at the start of the month. And I'm glad to see his officials are taking it seriously to write up some legislation. And as you know, Councillor Hanlon's highlighted, hybrid meetings do work so well for councillors across different walks of life, and to be able to be involved in the decision-making process. I'm just hopeful that those decisions can be made more quickly, and that you know we can get back to hybrid working as soon as possible. I'm happy to second as well, Chair, if Councillor Hanlon was proposing possibly, but whichever. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And I do agree with all previous speakers. You know, I think it is important that we make these meetings as accessible to the public as possible, but we also need to be mindful that our democratic services don't have that much resource. You know, two people, Sir and Fionnuala, are here tonight, and there's additional 1.5 other people who would shake my head. Sorry, there's 1.5, and it's the Commons, sorry, on a rolling monthly basis. Sorry, I'll correct it. You know, so we're asking two full-time members of staff to come to every potential meeting, and that's a massive resource demand on what is already a stretched area of the council. And, you know, we need to be conscious of that they also have a life outside of council. You know, there is a life, we're talking about hybrid and having our own balance of life. The staff of the council also need to have a balance of life. You know, every committee meeting is now at 6 o'clock. You know, council is at 6 o'clock. So there's four committee meetings. Add-on planning is a full day. Council, special council. You know, that is quite a heavy demand on democratic services. So we need to be conscious of how quickly this mechanism can survive if we don't want to address the resource or the department doesn't address from legislation perspective how we push this forward. So I don't know if the Chief Executive is comfortable that we continue in this approach. And could I ask, is there anyone actually on Teams right now? Because I can't see it because we obviously can't join through Teams. The press are on. So it's good that it's being used. But I would ask the Chief Executive, do we have the resource to be able to accommodate this going forward on a long-term thing?
Yeah, as I said, we're actually moving towards the broadcasting, and myself and Josephine, Director of Corporate Services, are actually working with our IT department. We will be bringing in an additional resource to manage the broadcasting, because to be fair to Democratic Services, they have been managing a team function and a broadcasting function for quite a considerable period of time, and they're really, really good at it, but it's not what they're really here to do. And that's why we're actually looking at that resource to actually enable them to do what they're supposed to do, and somebody to actually manage the actual system that is operating. So that's being moved through, and Democratic Services are aware of that as well. We also have an additional member of Democratic Services.
And what is the time frame for this live broadcasting and the resource to be in IT? Because, you know, if we have to advertise it and they've noticed, you know, there's 3-4 months, they train them up, 5 months, you know, that's 5 months that we're asking two Democratic Services officers to be in the chamber.
Chair, it's something that we'll come back on, and I think it's something that Council should be considering in relation to the actual availability of teams and access in the coming months. I would suggest bring paper back to the SPNR committee next month on that. There could be a suggestion that, you know, committee meetings are in person in totality, and that the council meeting is broadcast via Teams or something in the short term. But we'll bring those considerations back and we'll have a conversation with party leaders, conscious that we want to try and make it as accessible as possible, but equally conscious of the resort. We'll have to come back on the timeline for the installation and the uploading of the live stream, but we actually have a system. We're still signing off on the system as it is, getting it working, so we're just working through the process.
Thank you.
Thank you. So item 7 is proposed by Councillor Hanlon and seconded by Councillor Kelly. Item 8 then, the Mourne Mountain Gateway Project, contract for funding and funding agreement. And that's over to Connor.
Thanks, Chair. The purpose of the report in front of members is to seek approval for the draft contract for funding and funding agreement for the project. In the report, I've also set out some of the progress on the project approvals over the last few weeks, where there has been positive engagement with the Department for the Economy, and we have received a letter recently which I've summarised within the report, which sets out the current position, the next steps, and I've also referred in the report to the project costs and risks. Recommendations is for members to note the updates and next steps as outlined in the letter from DfE in Appendix 2, that Council acknowledged that any costs over and above the £30 million BRCD contribution for the Moran Mountain Gateway project are to be met by Council, and that approve the draft contract for funding and funding agreement as per Appendix 3 and Appendix 4 within the report. So I'm happy to take any questions.
Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I'm proposing that we reject the report and
sorry, I'm going to stop you. Councillor
Truesdale needs to turn off her mic to allow Councillor.
Right, Councillor Truesdale, as you're not a member, I'm going to take the members in first. Okay, so if you could turn yours off, that'd be great. Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, I'm proposing that we reject the report and do not accept the CFF or FA until we see a full analysis of a risk register for this project. This report is founded on an MOU, which, if you read it, clearly indicates that the National Trust are not on board. We're required as a council to provide written assurance confirming that we understand the risks associated with the project costs of this project. And in the last two meetings where we've discussed this, both at full council and at the last SPNR meeting, I did ask for a risk register, and I was told that an up-to-date one was not available. The original cost of this project was $36.6 million, then it went to $44 million, and now, according to sources, it's $50 million, according to the department. So it's gone from being a project that might have cost $6 or $7 million to the council to certainly going to cost $15 million. I'm saying, Chair, and I've just sent my proposal to Sarah, that we don't accept the recommendations of this report, and we do not accept the CFF or FA until we see a full analysis and debate a risk register for this project. And my colleague, Jenna Kelly, is seconding this proposal. Also, I'd like to ensure that Councillor Truesdale is let in because she actually sits on the programme board and is our representative thereon. Thank you very much.
Councillor Hanlon.
Thanks. Now, my comments will be at odds with Councillor Enright's proposal. I just want to make the point that we are all custodians of the Moore Mountains. It's the best natural asset that we have within Uri Mourne and Down. This is a fantastic opportunity for us to grab with both hands and to look at this contract of funding and, you know, the commitment from the department, you know, to actually support the Belfast Regional City deal can only be welcomed. You know, I do recognise that there are concerns, but it's my understanding and Sinn Féin's understanding that that will be dealt with as we move through the consultations. And I know later on in the meeting we'll be discussing the ICT consultants coming on board. And that's what a project does. It's managed as it goes along. That's what the role of the project board will be for. They will be critical here to scrutinise it at every point, at every pinpoint, and to make sure that this is a project that will serve the community, that will boost business, that will create jobs, that at the very end of it then will become a world-class tourism attraction for Uri Mourne and Down, and will attract visitors into our district and to raise revenue and just to be a very, very positive project for Uri Mourne and Down. It is disappointing that some parties wish to be completely negative about it at every point in turn. And, you know, that saddens me because as elected reps, what we want to do is bring investment into the district to make it the best that it can be for our residents and for our visitors. So, you know, to just hear the constant negativity and to know that the department officials and council officials and anybody else involved are working really, really hard to make it a good project, but at every point it's been turned into a negative one. So I just wanted to make that point. And we will be supporting the recommendations tonight, and we will be supporting the paper.
Councillor Kelly.
Thank you, Chair. As a party, we obviously will not be supporting this report tonight, as we simply cannot sign off on a project that's now projected to be about $15 million, which also has some very concerning hurdles that need to be met in order to get approval from the Department of Finance. There's simply no guarantee, for example, of planning approval, of an environmental impact assessment or a lease with the National Trust or other landowners. And I don't feel like this can go forward. Further, Chair, we cannot vote to approve this report because it also outlines the increase of a cost circa to $50 million. But also this report asks councillors to essentially sign off on a blank cheque to approve any future increase in costs. And I simply cannot sign off on that. And I don't understand why other councillors and parties are content to sign off on this report with, one, the increased financial burden and the potential future increases. Last month, Chair, we obviously signed off as a council on the largest rate increase we have ever experienced. And councillors here voted against that. And these same councillors tonight and others are happy to sign off and rubber stamp this tens of millions of pounds of increase, which will impact ratepayers for years and decades to come. So I feel like I've said all my comments, but thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Sharvin. Sorry, she's not on the committee, so...
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And I suppose we can certainly give Alliance some benefit more recently, but they are consistent in their message compared to the start of this project when they weren't so consistent. But, Chair, whenever we consider the whole approach, and I'm coming into my 13th year as a councillor, which seems very long, we as a council always strive to go out to get external funding that promoted and delivered projects for the betterment of our district. And for the proposal that's currently in front of us to turn and say, let's not sign. So nearing more and down, district council are saying no to £30 million. Like, that's literally the message that will go out of this chamber tonight. That Newry Moore and Down District Council don't need £30 million from the Belfast City Region, Dave, and will do nothing. And I think that's a serious worrying message that would be sent out. Now, people do have differences of opinions, and I think people do, again, miss the interpretation of what the Moore and Gateway is. The Moore and Gateway is more than the gondola. There is the visitor centre, there's the transportation, there's the connection of tourism. There's number of elements of this project that is part of this investment. It is not the gondola. The gondola is part of a mechanism to get to the top or to get to the visitor centre. I think that's a really important thing to remember. I was lucky enough as Deputy Chair of Council to go to a Belfast City Region Deal session at Belfast City Hall a number of weeks ago. And do you want to know something? The Moore and Gateway was publicised so much. That is pretty much one of the biggest beacons of the Belfast City Region Deal that is being promoted. Other councils, even central government departments, are envious of the project that we are promoting as a council. People would love to have this in their own council areas, but we are so lucky to have the Mourns in Newry Mourne Down. And look, I really want to emphasise on the National Trust statement that was just made. The National Trust have signed an MOU. For anyone to say that they are not fully on board is wrong. If they were not fully on board, they would not sign an MOU. they have. The discussions will continue. There will be a stakeholder on the project board, and they will have a say. And the project board is the right place to raise concerns. So, look, it is the choice of councillors how they want to message this, but certainly by not saying this, we are saying no to $30 million to our district. And I'll be supporting the proposal that's in front of us in the report, certainly not the proposal that's sitting in front of us now.
Councillor Hanlon.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I also support the paper that's in front of us. I suppose I want to make a few comments on what the paper in front of us actually means, because we're getting a lot of disinformation coming again and again. We get it through the working group or the programme board, we get it through SPNR, we get it through full council. No matter how many times the questions are answered, the same questions are put for populist headlines. And that has to stop, because what's unfair here is not only councillors live in the district, council officers live in the district, and they want to deliver what's best for this district as well. So for people in this chamber to go out and consistently peddle the same misinformation after receiving the answers to the questions they put forward is reckless, and it should be called out. There's far too much negativity about in this council, and a lot of it comes from people going off on solo runs with information, thinking that they're not liable, that they won't get a rap on the knuckles for going out to get headlines out of misinformation. So I'd make another plea, like I've made at the working group and I've made at this committee, for that to stop and the people be responsible. And people respect the officers and staff in this council. Respect the people that are working day in, day out to try and deliver for this council. And don't try and throw them under a bus with a headline that will grab likes. This paper here allows us to move to full business case. We constantly get questions thrown up in environmental impact, in consultation responses, in what-ifs that are further down the line, which we need by getting the ICT team, which is coming later on, which was opposed by the Alliance Party as well, but also getting to full business case. We've talked about there's dependencies here from the Department of Finance, who talks about when we get to full business case and it outlines and the response, the outcome of the public consultation and the planning application, all that is to come. We can make a determination on the value for money for this project. Yet we're getting at this early stage, before the ICT paper's even in, before we do the work to update the risk register, that A, B and C can't happen because somebody's put their finger up in the air and just guessed that it can't happen. We're at concepts, and we're not at concept stage, we're past that, but we're between OBC and FBC. The risk register, we've had it at the programme board as well, and Cadogan's, or Councillor Enright, has asked for an updated risk register. Through all the other programme boards that we've had, the risk register is updated as the project continues. We'll have the ICT team coming in, and they will have their own version of the risk register. There are other risks that will come in it that we have to, that after identified, we have to try and see how we're going to get around them. Of course, there's going to be risks with big projects. But Councillor Sharvin said, this is a game-changer project. It's in there from the Department of Finance, from the Department of Economy. That's the words they're using. And the whole point of this project is that we want people, when they get off the plane in Dublin and Belfast, this is trying to take people from off this island, visitors from off the island of Ireland, to come in and go to tourism attractions on this island. They know about Belfast. We've seen that in the notes. They know about the Giant's Causeway. We want to get game-changing tourism attractions right across this island and one in this district that will attract visitors and grow the economy here. So we're well ahead of other councils on our second tourism strategy. We talk the right talk. When it goes to be a big game-changing move, we're afraid to go on it because we're looking for populist headlines. Gareth's right. Councillor Sharvin's right. And this is around the comment. This is my last comment. This is around the comment that has been thrown three times at some councillors in this chamber voted against the rates increase. I made it very, very clear why we voted against the rates increase. And the Alliance councillor in question is talking about the SDLP. I talked about trying to get value for money for the ratepayer. This is value for money for the ratepayer. When you have a project that is a ratio of 2-1 to come into the district, we should be doing everything we can to spend our money that is going to take in a ratio of 2 to that. So that's the $30 million to the $14.6 million, whatever it's sitting at now. We know there's estimates of $50 million. We don't know until we get the FBC if those estimates are effective. We're arguing against those estimates. We don't agree with them. But that's a 2-1 ratio. If we're not using our capital spend and what we're spending, we're getting twice that back, an investment into the district, then what the hell are we doing? Does the Alliance Party want us to have 100% capital spend on the back of the ratepayer here? This is from just below $1 billion from the city deal, which we've done really, really well out of. And the one thing that frustrates me, and you can probably hear it in my voice now, the last programme board, is we go into these programme boards People are opposed to the project and they bicker about a project from a misinformed position, and it makes us look stupid. In the tourism and regeneration pillar, we have two projects. We have the Newry City Centre regeneration and the Mourne Gateway. Those two other councils would take their hands off of those projects, have two projects there. We'll have one in the infrastructure pillar as well. That pillar is capped. There's no more money in that pillar. You know, if we want to remove a project, other people that's going to jump on and try and take that money. But also, don't forget that the complementary fund from the City Park, we like certain parts of the City deal. That $16 million came from the fact that we are delivering a bigger project through the City Region deal in Newry City Centre Regeneration. So you can't have your cake and eat it. You can't say, I like the $16 million, go out and put out press releases, we're getting this park, but you got that park on the back of a regeneration project in Newry in the City deal. So the other things that's going to come from Newcastle in terms of transport and access into Newcastle all comes from this project. So let's be truthful with the public. Let's stop looking at headlines and let's for once stop disrespecting the staff here and social media posts and media articles that are probably already written going out and saying we're signing off on a blank check. We're going to come back for the full business case. There will be more decisions to be made, and people around this chamber in all parties will look at the information in front of them and make the best decision for the people that they represent, irrelevant of what the Alliance Party says. I would ask you simply to wise up.
Mr. Hanlon.
I just wanted to come back in to make the point. Councillor Kelly referred to Newry Morning Down signing off on a rates increase. Yes, because we have to be fiscally responsible, and I made that point at full council, and I'm not deviating from that, and Sinn Féin are not deviating from that. But what is continually happening, and Councillor Byrne has articulated it very, very well ahead of me and made many points that I was going to come back in on, but there's so much misinformation around this. There seems to be a complete lack of understanding from the Alliance Party on how a project actually is delivered. And I mean, you do sit on the project board, so you should be aware of the processes. The papers, which I printed out to have a really good look at, I normally don't, but I went through them with a fine tooth comb, and they make the utmost sense to me. But yet we come into the chamber and there's all these mistruths being peddled. And it maybe is just to get a headline to say we're against it. And you know, for why, I don't really know. I don't really know the rationale behind it. And again, I suppose I would ask the officers. We have always been very good at a council, as a council, in looking for external funding. So to keep saying that we're going to put the burden on the ratepayers, or we're going to do this, that and the other with the money. You know, Pete alluded to it with the Newry project, then we were able to get complementary funding. I'll refer to Downpatrick and the skate park that Gareth and I have championed for years. That was external funding. That isn't going to be, you know, it's only a small element. You know, if we look at projects like that, you know, if they're project ready and if they're managed properly, we can get money from other sources. But that just seems to have just gone over everybody's head in Alliance, that they don't seem to want to look at what the actual positives are or how we can do business as a district. And again, referring back to the fact that this project will create jobs, this project will create better opportunities for the residents of the district, and it's going to be there for a long time, and it is going to be managed properly. But if we continually come in and say, oh, we want to look at this, that and the other, when you know it's going to go through the consultants and it's going to go through a project management process, it just doesn't make sense to continually come in and just use these arguments that are being rehashed, even though we know that it's going through a process. So I suppose the other thing I wanted to bring into the chamber this evening is it's constantly being peddled that, you know, one project sits against another in terms of that. For example, if the Mourne Gateway goes ahead, that it will jeopardise other projects across the district. So I want the officer to answer the two questions. Can we look for external funding when it's appropriate or timely? And can we assure residents that it's not to get one project against the other, that there's space enough for everything?
Mr. McAteer.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yeah. Chair, yeah, again on this, I've been a councillor since 2011, I think it is, and I think back to the old council, and particularly the two old councils, before the amalgamation, the like of this, these schemes that we are taking on would be totally unimaginable. We couldn't even contemplate projects of such magnitude, never mind the amount of money that's been offered from all sources. I think a total of well over 100 million in terms of Southern Relief Road, et cetera, interest. That's the clout the new super councils have, and that's what this allows us to do. So, councillors, we have to be very mindful that we all agreed to place this council as to be in the forefront and to be a leader in tourism, particularly outdoor recreation in this island. And that's council policy. That's what we all agreed as councillors to do. So we must adhere to this. And we have to stay focused on this and to try and achieve the goals that are there. There's opportunities to build something really special and exclusive around this project, as Councillor Sharvin said earlier on. It's not just about a gondola going to a point in the mountain. It's the whole background to this, and what the visitor centre can come up with, and what projects we can deliver there, and outdoor theatre. I mean, some of the officers were talking about this a number of years ago, the opportunities that can lead to. And that's really what long-term thinking is about. And we should be celebrating the fact that for a change, for maybe the first time in maybe since the formation of Northern Ireland, South Down and South Armagh are not being forgot about. We are getting money in here, and the offer of money, that was just, wouldn't have been considered. So to listen to the Alliance Party coming up with, supposed to be a moderate party, coming up with nonsense. They've already delayed Newry Park by God knows how long. Are they going to try and wreck this as well? So I don't understand this type of thinking from people. Why would class as amateur politicians come to something like this? Pure amateurs. And they don't understand it. I've seen it all along. They don't understand how council work. They don't know how the financial system works on a council. It's very evident over the last number of years. And it's disgraceful. It really is. But anyway, thankfully, we have enough sensible people around this chamber to put these things through and be true leaders for our area, South Down and South Armagh. Thanks, Chair.
Councillor Kelly.
Thank you, Chair, for that. Let me in again. I do want to dispute those last comments, Chair. I feel like it's unfair to call us amateurs or call other members around this chamber more entitled or more qualified than we are as a party. But my comment that I just wanted to make, Chair, was there was something made about creating jobs. Do we know how many jobs this project is going to create? But also, I wanted to make clearly more on the fact of the blank cheque comment, perhaps, that I made. One of the recommendations in 3.2 is that council acknowledge that any cost over and above the 30 million contribution for the Mourne Gateway project are to be met by the council. And at the minute, we don't know fully how much they are. We've given a circa figure of 50 million that could increase. And that's what I'm upset. We are signing off a blank cheque to allow these funds just to be met by council. Maybe it could be external funding, but that's not what's been said in this recommendation. That is to be met by the council, and I think it's entirely outrageous that we do that right now, whenever we believe there's still concerns surrounding the project.
All right, there's a bit of a pattern here, but Councillor Truesdale, if you wouldn't mind just waiting, and I will bring you in at the end when the members have spoken. Thank you. Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, Chair, it's more a point of clarity, and I suppose it's maybe for the benefit for everyone. The comment about a blank cheque is inaccurate. What is actually has happened in previous projects is this figure, once the full business case is back, we will have a figure. That figure will continue to come back to this chamber through the right channels of committees, and this chamber has the opportunity to challenge the figure and how much we as a council actually assign against the project. So to say anyone is writing a blank cheque off is inaccurate and disinformation. Again, we as a council have control over how much this council actually will contribute to the AIM project. I think that's really important. I think it'd be important that the officer does state that, if that is true as well.
Councillor Hanlon.
Yeah, again, just to
follow on from Councillor Sharvin's comments, you know, and the blank cheque, it's a very glib way of looking at a council paper. And let's be fair, a paper that has been scrutinised by the Department of Economy as well, you know, and the 50 million keeps being banded about, but the 30 million keeps being missed out. You know, so it's all, and like my mother would say, how you tell it. Because, you know, really, we don't know how much it's going to cost. Yes, we do have to have to give that commitment tonight that we are agreeing that we know there will be an element of council funding in it. But at the same time, you know, we don't know what capital costs are going to be 3 years down the line. I mean, I've been about finance long enough to know that what goes up must come down and vice versa. So maybe capital costs are sitting high at the minute, but they may come down again because that's the nature of the building industry. And, you know, so there's always an element of risk, no matter what you do in any project, should it be refurbishing your own home to build in a multi-million pound tourism strategy, there's always a bit of risk. And if we didn't take risks as a council, where would we be? We would just turn the lights out and not do anything and not progress anything or not look and look to Belfast Regional City Deal. And as Councillor Sharvin said, we're the envy of the other councils, but we would say, no, actually, we don't want that. We're just happy to stand still. I mean, to me, that's not leading and that's not being good elected members in the chamber. And in reference to how many jobs are being created, again, to quote Councillor Byrne, we're going to stick our finger up in the air and wonder, because nobody would know that. That is not something that can be quantified at this point. But that is something, again, going back to the project management board, that would be managed through that. And you would like to think you'll be sourcing local builders, that you'd be sourcing local procurement and, you know, all the things that we do well as a council.
Thank you. Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, Chair, apologies for coming back in. I'm going to keep it very, very brief. It's just on the blank cheque comment. I just want to raise a scenario from last year, because I fear from the commentary that we've heard on this paper that that is the headline that will go out in this council tonight. The council signs off a blank cheque for X amount of money, and that is not fair, as I said earlier, on councillors here, but it's also not fair on officers to peddle the public off with that misinformation. If I go back to the complementary fund, I think it was, what, 16.1, 16.2 million, we brought a paper to SBNO that council would oversee any increase in the cost in that, and council would cover costs over and above that amount. Alliance backed that. So Alliance can't come here now tonight and say that the exact same process that we're going through here amounts to a blank cheque. Is that exactly what you've done when it came to the City Park, signed off on a blank cheque? No, you didn't. We covered, the council made a commitment to cover the cost over and above 16.1 million, which they are over and above at the minute. Alliance, we're talking about taking all phases of the park at the one time, which would be circa around 40, 50 million. We had signed off on a paper for the council to cover those costs. We're doing the exact same tonight. You cannot come into this chamber a couple of months ago and say that's the right way to do it, and then come in and criticise doing the exact same way for a different project. The only difference in the projects is you're for one and against one. The process is exactly the same. So do not go out into the public and state that what happened tonight is any different from what happened from the City Park. It's the exact same process, the exact same paper, and the exact same commitment from councillors. You're for it one time, you're against it the other time. You need to make up your mind why.
Councillor Teresa.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for letting me in, Chair. I'm aware I'm not a member of this committee, but I do sit on the project board. Councillor Hannan, I'm glad you said that it's in the way you say it, because point 2.2 states funding via the BRCD is capped at 29.77 million. Point 2.4 states funding via BRCD is 30 million. That's a quarter of a million pound shortfall for the ratepayers to pay. This project started off as 36.6 million overall project cost, with ratepayers contributing 18% of this cost. Now, based on 2024 estimate of 50 million overall project costs, the ratepayers will be contributing 40% of this cost for the same project. I sit on the project board, and from the project board governance document dated February 2023, project board responsibilities list point 5, ensuring the project delivers within its agreed boundaries on time and within budget. This project is 2 years behind schedule and the budget is only rising. I understand perfectly how a project board works, but yet I have been told to reconsider my position on the project board. My questions have been called bloody embarrassing. My scrutiny has been termed as too detailed. Alliance will not be found wanting in any respect of scrutiny or due diligence on the cost estimation of the ratepayer of 40%. Councillor Hanlon's scrutiny is not negativity. The Council is disputing the Department of Finance estimates. Can Council not just accept the expert opinion, face up to this figure and move on? Councillor Sharvin, National Trust aren't on the project board. I don't know if they're coming back, maybe that's the question you want to ask. This constant misinformation Councillor Byrne keeps peddling. You've said it a few times, you've mentioned knuckles wrapped, but you don't seem to bring the misinformation or what you think the misinformation is. I would be interested to know exactly what you think that the misinformation is. Thank you, Chair. Sorry, you go through the chair. Go through the chair.
Chair, I know there's a
number. Chair, I'm looking to sum up.
I think the no, it's Marie Ward coming in. Councillor Lewis hasn't spoken yet, so I'm going to pass to him, please. Thank you.
Chair, there's a lot of talk about a blank cheque. It's a shame that the Alliance Party aren't concerned about a blank cheque whenever it comes to other projects that's being discussed at the current time. But moving on, can I just check that all that we're sitting here tonight for half an hour talking about, is this not discussed at the working group, which the party who is opposing this has a seat on? So all the information that we've had to spend half an hour going round and round and round on has already been discussed. They have full access to what we can see now, probably more detail than what we can see now. And I would perhaps make the point that the problem with the working group is that it's not held in a public meeting. Therefore, there can be no headlines from it.
Okay, Marie Ward, if I could hand over to you, please respond.
Yeah. Chair, if the councillor writes, I know he hasn't spoken yet. Is he okay to give way to me? I suppose, Chair, I would just start by saying the council officers in this council are here to deliver on behalf of council and do so at the direction of council. And the council officers of this council have faced significant criticism and scrutiny in the media, which I would argue on a lot of occasions is inaccurate and wrong. Council officers are here to be challenged at both project board meetings, council committee meetings and council itself, and we provide answers to all questions when asked. The challenge that we're faced with is, even though we answer the questions, we get asked the same questions again repeatedly and we give the same answers. The answers that we give are the correct answers. It's not going to get a different outcome no matter how many times you ask it. In relation to the delivery of projects generally, I think there's probably an issue in that we have a number of councillors around this chamber, and this is not, to be very clear, just to Councillor Kelly's point, disrespect at any councillor who's new. There are a number of councillors who have had years of experience of delivering projects and new councillors who we maybe need to look at training in relation to how project boards operate and how we deliver on capital projects, and that's something that we can give consideration to. The delivery of this project, like every project in council, is done in a measured and mannered way. We do that by going through a project systematically, right from conception to completion, if that is what the council desires. What council are being asked to do tonight, and I think it is really important to say, and I have to say it as the CFO of the organisation, there is absolutely no way would we sit here tonight and ask any councillor to sign a blank cheque. That is wholly wrong, wholly inaccurate, and something that definitely should not be out in the public domain. I would not request the council to do that. What we are asking the council to do is acknowledge, as they have acknowledged from the very start of the Belfast Region City Deal propositions, that the Belfast Region City Deal is capped and the cost in addition to that must be covered by council.
Council have an opportunity at all points within a project to make a decision to change or not to deliver. The challenge the council faces at this point is we're in the very, very, very early stages. There are elected members who keep quoting the 50 million. I would refer you to the point in the report that says the department recognises, and this is the Department for the Economy, that given the project's early stage of development, there cannot be absolute certainty over the development costs. As the design develops, however, this would provide further information to inform a decision on the budget requirement. As we work through a project, project costs will change. Council, as a project board, will give consideration to those costs. Council and the project board of council will have the opportunity to consider various aspects of that project that can change the costs, but we're not there yet. I've heard members referring tonight to the fact we won't get planning permission. I don't know that. I'm not sure how anybody else can know that. We are going through a process. We're going to go into closed session to talk about appointment of ICT. We need to look at how we appoint that ICT and the work that they will do that will take us to the next stage. Councillors have referred tonight to the fact that we will look at a full business case. We are at the outline business case stage. We have to move through the project. We need to get to a point where we can conclude as a council if this is the right or wrong thing for the council to be doing, either financially or for the long-term investment in the district. It is really important to recognise that this project has been considered of strategic importance for Northern Ireland. That is a really significant thing for Newry, Mourne and Down. I was the Director of Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism, and this council made a decision that we would be the number one tourism destination on the island of Ireland. This is part of the move towards doing that. So I am assuring councillors we are not asking for a blank cheque to be signed. We are simply asking council to recognise what was recognised within the Belfast Region City D, that was capped. I would also say that the project will go through and has got very, very detailed and very significantly qualified consultancy teams on board that help us to work through these decisions and help us to make informed decisions in relation to either costs, to the planning issues, the environmental issues, etc. And in relation to the National Trust, they have signed a memorandum or are in the process of signing a memorandum of understanding with the council, which sets out how we will work together. That gives both parties the opportunity to make decisions as we move through various gateways. And I would say to council, we will come back at the various gateways and council will have the opportunity to make decisions. I would say to council tonight, you can make a decision to stop this. Is that wrong because we're stopping too early? We don't know if we've actually delivered it. I would say people cast your mind back to the Titanic Belfast. A lot of people didn't believe in Titanic Belfast. Look what it has delivered for Belfast. Is the gateway to the Mourns, Newry, Mourne and Downs, Titanic Belfast? I don't know. But do we want to give that up at this point? As officers, we will not ask you to sign up to anything that is not appropriate. And we will always, always put the information in front of you. And that is what we're doing. Councillor, one of the councillors asked in relation to jobs. And I would say to you that delivering the business case that looks at this project actually sets out that it will deliver improved educational skills and employability outcomes, including training and employment opportunities for hard-to-reach or economically inactive groups, including over 400 direct, indirect, induced operational and construction jobs in a rural area and an area of social and economic disadvantage. That is the end game for this council. That's where we want to be. But I would also say that we are doing that in looking at the interests of the environment, because one thing we have highlighted within our tourism strategies always is that the real jewel in the crown of Newry, Mourne and Down is our areas of outstanding natural beauty, and we simply can't damage them. We need to protect them. So anything that the council make a decision to do must be done in light of that, and that has to be done in a measured way, informed and with information, and we're going to talk about that in the closed session. In relation to the 30 million, I would just say that the 30 million is in the document, in the report, not as an inaccuracy, but one that was put there because the original deal document refers to 30 million. Sorry. And just to finish, and I would refer people to the capital projects report that was done by the Northern Ireland Audit Office and published last week or this week. One of the biggest challenges to capital delivery in Northern Ireland is delay. Every time you delay a project, you increase the costs. And what we have been doing as officers is working very, very hard
with everybody to try and ensure we can avoid delay. But when we end up with delay, it increases costs. We've seen it in the NCCR. It's been delayed by 18 months to 2 years, and we need to protect our projects from delay, because when you delay, you cost money. Thank you. I'm going to go move to Councillor Rice, who hasn't yet spoken on this issue yet. So could I ask Councillor Hanlon and Councillor Enright to turn theirs off?
Thanks, Chair, and not to sort of rehash what's already been said, but as a Mourns councillor myself, I'm genuinely concerned that there is a concerted effort here to completely derail this project before the facts have been laid bare in front of us. While I do share the concerns regarding this project, there's a reality that this is potential to be one of the biggest tourist attractions in our entire district. Beyond the tourism aspect, obviously, there is also the nearly £30 million that has been secured from the Department of Economy, which will bring jobs into our district. I suppose it was what Councillor Hanlon has already asked, is maybe just a point of clarity. There is the opportunity for us to secure external funding to offset the council's commitment, to offset the expense on ratepayers. So just a point of clarity regarding that, but I sort of know the answer to it anyway.
Yeah, sure. I think, and it's been rightly said, and apologies I missed that in the questions, but it's been rightly said this council has been hugely successful in obtaining external funding for projects. And just because we have what we've secured through the Belfast Region City deal, that doesn't mean we sit back and rest on our laurels. We are always looking for other opportunities and other ways that we can secure funding. There may be an opportunity, I don't know, comes up in the future to additional match funding for the Gateway to the Mourns, but we need to work through the process. And the only way you can access funding is by having actually projects that are ready to be delivered. And it's been referred to the Downpatrick projects today, the Newry City Park. There's various projects. Belfast Region City deal has secured in the region of £200 million for this district. That is absolutely huge and significant investment.
Councillor Taylor.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I obviously don't represent the Mourns, but I've taken time to listen to the debate that's obviously taken place here tonight. And it's one of frustration in many ways, because you know, I serve in the Newry Programme Board, and again, similar issues are raised at times about that. But the reality is, I think every one of us that entered this chamber and were elected in this chamber done so to try and better the region that we represent. And I see investment of this nature. And that doesn't mean that we don't question, we don't interrogate, we don't look at the issues that potentially arise. But to see this type of investment potentially scuppered in a way that could happen, to me, sends a very poor signal out to the people that we represent and the wider area that we seek to improve. £30 million investment cannot be ignored. And I certainly think that the department, you know, through the deal that was the Greater Belfast Generation deal, the money that was provided, they obviously see the potential that there is with this also. And I do get frustrated at times, and I've seen this throughout my terms as a councillor, that somehow whenever these major projects are developed, we seem to get nervous about taking them forward to the next level because something might go wrong. And at what stage do we stop being parochial about things and look towards the better regeneration? Because one of the key aspects of us as a council is to improve the economic regeneration of this area that we represent. Tourism is a major part of our strategy here. But how do we do that without developing projects? The small investments that we can make as a council ourselves are an important component of that. But in order to develop major projects that have a major impact on our wider economy, we need this type of investment. And we can't ignore it. We're following the due processes that are required, and people can raise those questions at the times and that it allows. But for us to turn around here tonight and potentially discover that, it's a dangerous precedent to start. And we as elected representatives have to take a responsible attitude to all of this. And it's not about grabbing headlines. It's about interrogating and making sure that what we're doing is right for the people that we represent and the wider area and the wider district, et cetera. Because that's what we're about here. And I am concerned that we're sitting now at a potential stage of this being scuppered without actually going through the due processes that are required. And I think we can overcome some of the concerns that even the Alliance Party have raised tonight. And I'm happy to make a minor amendment, if it's possible to do that, in terms of 3.2, where it says council acknowledged that any costs over and above £30 million BRCD contribution for them, MPGP, are to be met by council. We could say are to be met or sourced externally by council. That allows some leeway that the entire weight of potential any additional cost isn't to be met by council. I don't know if that's feasible or not, but again, I don't want to be serving as an impediment to this, but it's just it's to try and find a way of some addressing some concerns. But as I say, I'm happy to support it as it stands, but it's trying to find a way to address some of that concerns. That might not be possible, but it's to get some advice on that as well.
Sure. I think the issue for us is that whilst we can look for external funding, we need to just be clear that we are accepting, as we have done with all other BRCD projects, the additional costs. As a council, I think then we can say that we would be looking, but I think to amend that recommendation wouldn't be advisable.
Even without the word externally met or sourced. It's just a way to try and find comfort for everybody in this, because I don't want to see this project scuppered.
We could have another recommendation, so don't demand that one, but just 3.4.
Well, I'm happy to propose that council also look at the opportunity of sourcing external funding.
Oh,
well, that's okay. Do I need the word that probably council will look? Yeah, so, yeah, happy enough with it. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm conscious of the time and the extensive conversation and discussion that we've had tonight. We're going to move to look at Councillor Enright's proposal and to vote on that. So just to remind people, this was proposed by Councillor Enright and seconded by Councillor Kelly, that we reject the recommendations of the report and do not approve the CFF or FA until we are presented with a full analysis of an updated risk register for this project. So I think we need a vote.
Thanks very much, Chair. I'd like to sum up, if you don't mind.
It's not necessary. It's not a notice of motion, and we're going to move to the vote.
Well, sorry, I haven't had a chance to reply to an awful lot of the statements that have been made here tonight.
I'm conscious of time. In fact, we have had a very extensive discussion and debate on this already.
Chair, several councillors have been allowed in two or three times. I've only been allowed in once, and it's my motion.
And seconded by Councillor McAteer. Okay, so that's us moving to a
just
vote.
For the record, I would have let Councillor Enright in and let him have a couple of minutes, because if he does think that he has a right to reply. I would state, though, we have debated it extensively, and Alliance councillors have put their point across, but just for the record.
Was that proposal accepted, then?
Chair, would be against that proposal.
Are we happy to return to allow Councillor Enright in to sum up? Okay, we have to vote on Councillor Sharvin's proposal.
Given that the Chamber is not too content with that proposal, and in the goodness of my heart, I'll withdraw that then. And I'll allow Councillor Enright to come in at the Chair's discretion, understanding Order Number 30.
Councillor Enright, could I ask if you could keep it reasonably brief?
Thanks, Chair. Yes. Chair, in reply to my motion, none of the councillors present referred to my concern over the absence of a risk register and how I've asked for a risk register over the last couple of meetings. We haven't seen it, not at this SPNR meeting, and we haven't seen it in full council. The the on page 2 of the report under project risks and costs, we are asked to provide a written assurance confirming, i.e. we understand the risks associated with the project costs. Okay? It would not be reasonable to suggest that people outside the program project group understand the risks associated with this project. I respect my Sinn Féin colleagues and my unionist colleagues for voting for the rates. It was a difficult decision for them to make. We abstained because we had concerns about the scale and unpredictability of two capital projects that are in front of our council. My SDLP colleagues have been quite rude to my colleagues on the Alliance Party. They're manifesting themselves like lemmings jumping over a financial cliff when they vote against the rates, which have other parties support or abstain on, and yet they want to spend, apparently, in an uncontrolled manner without getting the assurance confirming that they understand the risk associated with the project. So, Chair, I'm saying that, that my motion is asking management to bring forward an analysis of the risk register, an up-to-date risk register, and explain
to us... you're not bringing a motion. It's a proposal.
My proposal is that we get a risk register presented to us and an analysis thereof and explain to us why our worries about costs are not well-founded. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, just in relation to the risk register, and to be clear, and maybe this leads into the point if we do a session with all councillors as to how our project boards operate, the risk registers are presented to the project boards, and we have obviously delegated members across the council who sit from either parties or independents in relation to those project boards, and they get full sight of the risk register and actually have the advantage of the appointed project managers and various different consultants who actually take them through and explain those things. So that is the governance process of council. It wouldn't be that we would be tabling a risk register at a committee. We will table key risks possibly at the committee. And in relation to the risks specifically on funding, it is set out within the report. We have clearly highlighted that there is a cost discrepancy or cost a difference of opinion between our professional consultants and the department, and that's been very clear and has also been in the media, so everybody is fully aware of that. We've explained the various different scenarios. We've explained the fact that we're at a point in time and we have to give consideration to that in detail.
Can I ask a quick question just around the risk register? So from sitting on SPNR and audit for a number of years now, am I right in assuming that this will go added into the corporate risk register, and we will have an opportunity within those processes or projects or committees to actually scrutinise this further, so it's not just left to the project board, that it will be brought in through audit and SPNR as well?
So what you'll find, Chair, is there'll be a major within our corporate risk registers, there will be a reference to capital and the risks associated with that. Where we do reviews and we feel there are issues, we will highlight those within the corporate risk. But specifically in respect of a project risk register, that is a very, very detailed risk register that looks at absolutely everything within it. And what we would be doing is we will bring key risks to the SPNR committee from the project boards as is considered relevant by the project board itself. So moving forward, what you'll find, and we have always said that if there is a key decision coming out and you see it happening off the project board, a paper is presented to SPNR for consideration and the risks will be contained within that.
Can we move to a vote?
Sure. A recorded vote, Chair, please.
So this is the proposal from Councillor Enright, that is that we reject the recommendations of the report and do not approve CFF or FA until we are presented with full analysis of an updated risk register for this project.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Thank
you. Recorded vote. Nice. So the recorded vote. Yes, Councillor Byrne. Councillor Enright.
For.
Councillor Hanlon.
Against.
Councillor Hall is absent. Councillor Kelly.
For.
Councillor Lewis.
Against.
Councillor McAteer. Councillor McAvoy is absent. Councillor Mathers. Councillor O'Hare.
Against.
Councillor Quinn.
Against.
Councillor Riley is absent. Councillor Rice.
Against.
Councillor Sharvin.
Against.
And Councillor Taylor?
Against.
So I have 2-4 and 10 against. Okay, so that proposal has fallen, and now I need a proposer and seconder for the recommendations.
Including the additional recommendation from Councillor Taylor in relation to that we will
the Council look at the opportunity of sourcing
external funding. That would be added into the recommendations.
So that is proposed by Councillor Taylor and seconded by Councillor Lewis.
Chair, can I just clarify that they're proposing and seconding all of the recommendations, including that one?
Yeah. Chair, can I just clarify that we're against the proposals and if we could do a recorded vote on that?
Yes, we have to do a vote on that, yes. Councillor Byrne? Councillor Enright?
Against.
Councillor Hanlon?
For.
Councillor Howell is absent. Councillor Kelly?
Against.
Councillor Lewis?
For.
Councillor McAteer? Councillor McAvoy is absent. Councillor Mathers?
For.
Councillor O'Hare?
For.
Councillor Quinn?
For.
Councillor Riley is absent. Councillor Rice?
For.
Councillor Sharvin?
For.
Councillor Taylor?
For.
I have 10 for and 2 against. So that is carried. Okay, so moving on, items deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland, 2014, we need to move into closed session. Could I have a proposer and seconder to go into closed session? Proposed by Councillor Lewis and seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Gwen. The following items were agreed in closed session. Item 9, debt on the proposal of Councillor Lewis. On the proposal of Councillor Lewis, seconded by Councillor Sharvin, it was agreed to approve the bad debt write-off at March 2024 as outlined in the officer's report. Item 10, the Square Restrever, on the proposal of Councillor McAteer, seconded by Councillor Hanlon, it was agreed to approve the recommendations as outlined in the officer's report. Item 11, proposed renewal of licence for advertising hoardings at Newry Tennis and Bowling Facility, on the proposal of Councillor Taylor, seconded by Councillor Quinn, it was agreed to grant a licence to the party noted in the officer's report, permitting them to operate the advertising hoardings at Newry Tennis and Bowling Facility for a term of 3 years, subject to a yearly licence fee to be determined by the councillor's valuer. Item 12, the proposed lease of land adjacent to St Nicholas's Primary School, Art Glass, for a bus shelter. On the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Hanlon, it was agreed to enter into a lease with the party noted in the officer's report in respect of the lands outlined in red on the map attached to the officer's report for a term of 25 years, subject to a one-off premium as outlined within the officer's report. Item 13, the proposed lease at Castlewellan Forest Park. On the proposal of Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Lewis, it was agreed that the commencement date of Phase 4 of the 2021 lease is brought forward from 2029 until 2024, as per the content of the officer's report. It is further agreed that Council grant the existing tenant identified within the officer's report a lease until the 31st of December 2045, of the areas outlined in red on the map attached to the officer's report, subject to the yearly rent determined by councillor's valuer as set out at paragraph 1.6 of the officer's report. Item 14, the Mourne Mountains Gateway Project, appointment of ICT. On the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Hanlon, it was agreed to approve the appointment of the preferred bidder for the ICT at the tendered sum as outlined in section 4.1 of the officer's report, subject to updated approval from Department of Finance. Item 15, Management Accounts, period 9. On the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor McAteer, it was agreed to note the quarter 3 2023-24 management accounts. Item 16, Treasury Management Update. On the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor McAteer, it was agreed to note the quarter 3 Treasury Management Update. Item 17 is the Women's Working Group Minutes, held on the 1st of February 2024, and these are for noting. And over to Josephine. Councillor Quinn.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Happy to propose. The discussions we had on the day were very interesting, and I, as my first term as councillor, I'm really looking forward to the work we're going to be doing, engaging with young people, elderly communities, different things, and initiating the links in the communities that the council work with in order to further progress. So, no, I am really looking forward to it, and just want to congratulate Chairperson Valerie on the successful event that she had on International Women's Day. I think anyone there would come out and said that the speakers were fantastic and the whole thing went down as a really, really success. So I want to congratulate a big wahoo to Val.
Mr. Kelly.
Yes, sir. Happy to be the second in minutes, but obviously International Women's Day, there was the organisation of the event didn't go the best to plan. I'd just like to know sort of how the decisions taken around the keynote speaker were made, and Chair, if there could be a report brought back to the working group where the councillors who are on that group can review that decision-making process to ensure that something like that doesn't happen again.
Thank you. That's fine. Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, Chair, and it's partly related to the item, but partly it's a request to Councillor Kelly to issue me a public apology for a statement that she put on her public platform through Facebook and also in the press, where she accused me as the chairperson at the time at full council from shutting down any discussion. No comments or questions were allowed to be raised in relation to the item that she's just spoken on. As hopefully that any councillor knows, understanding orders, it is the discretion of the chairperson how the chair, the meeting is ran. It is also used to be common practice that anyone that had an item under chairperson's remarks would approach the chair in advance of the meeting and ask that the item be either read out or be considered. And I'll use Councillor Hanlon as an example. Councillor Hanlon came to me in advance of the meeting to ask that St Malky's of Castlewellan for their All-Ireland final be included and be spoken, for which I did. And I also did respond to Councillor Kelly's platform where she has accused me of shutting down a conversation that did not happen at the council meeting. I did speak to herself, Andy McMurray and David Lee Surgner ahead of the meeting in reference to item 13, which was the Warm Point Port Harbour appointment, and I informed them of how I was going to approach that. So they had ample opportunity to raise any matters with me where they wished the item to be considered. So I'd certainly ask that she does rectify what she states very publicly that is against my character, and that she does apologise for that accusation because it is totally inaccurate.
Councillor Quinn.
Just back on the International Women's Day, I understand that there obviously was some issues with the speaker at the time, and obviously it was dealt with in whatever way, shape or form you want to put it. But if anyone who actually was there and present, I was there, the speakers were fantastic, especially through the advocacy. Niamh Quinn, if I'm correct, the work she does is fantastic. I am aware of her work in supporting people who are victims of sexual violence. Also, I think everyone was touched by the Ukrainian mother and her child who travelled from Ukraine during the war when it was initiated, and is living in Warm Point and the support she's given. So I think to turn the event here tonight into something negative isn't really something to be coming across. And, you know, obviously the women's group will be used to promote such events in the future. And, you know, just another comment in the fact that, yes, it probably was maybe the best for him to be speaking as a keynote person, but I think, you know, in 2024, we can't be excluding men from the conversation about promoting women. You know, if there was only women in the room, there wouldn't be much done. So I think, you know, not to put a pin in it, but I don't think we should be talking about it negatively, and I think we should just carry on with the work moving forward and use the women's working group to promote such events again. So thanks.
Okay, could I have a proposer and seconder for the minutes, please?
Sorry, Chair, Atiga, the Councillor Kelly's not taking the opportunity to publicly apologise because I hear Councillor Enright trying to tell a woman what to do.
No, she's not taking the opportunity. We need a... it's proposed by... It is, you're right. It's proposed by Councillor Quinn and it's seconded by Councillor Kelly. Thank you. That's us for this evening. Stay at home, everyone.